Greetings this morning, in Jesus' name. It's a blessing and a privilege to be here. I trust that one of the reasons that you're here this morning is because you are looking for something more beyond this life. And like we just sang, looking forward to leaving the troubles of this life. Sometimes we find difficulties in life. Sometimes we face hard things. Sometimes we face heartaches. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations that we don't know how to move forward. And so we look forward to a time when those things will be gone and we can be with the Lord. But in the middle of those things, I think that the things that we'd like to look at this morning can be of help to us when we find ourselves in difficult things. And so by God's grace, we will do that here this morning. You can turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We'll read one verse. It's a text here for this morning. I'll give you the title here in a little bit. So turn to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 7. I think this is nothing new that I'm going to be sharing here this morning, but if you're like me, we need to be reminded. And I was reading here several weeks ago, and I actually read an account that we'll look at here that sort of inspired my thoughts in this way. As I was seeking the Lord, this thing just kept coming back to me. So let's just read here. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 7, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." So this morning we'd like to look at those three things, primarily focusing in on the first one there. That's what we do find the most of here, but also looking briefly at the word seek and the word knock. So we'd like to look at those three words and see what we can glean from them, look at some examples from Scripture, people who practice these things, and see what God would have for us in that. So the definition for ask is to beg, to call for, to crave, to desire, and to require, and that is from the Strong's. This was something that Jesus taught here in the Sermon on the Mount, and later on the Apostle James also said that we have not because we ask not. So that's a principle that we find throughout Scripture of these things. Maybe before we go into the heart of what I want to look at here this morning, we could just, if we're able to, kneel together and have a word of prayer. Oh Father, we're here before you, looking to you for some manna, some bread from heaven. Lord, we ask that you would come and feed our souls. Lord, I don't know what all the needs are in our hearts here today, but as we come and we look at your word, you've instructed us to ask, and we will receive, as we're asking according to your will, that you would come and feed our souls here today and meet the needs that we have. Thank you, Father, for the hope and expectation that we have of, as we walk faithfully with you, that we can be with you someday in heaven. Lord, as we consider this life and has difficulties at times, we ask that you would help us to remember to rely on you for our help and for our strength. And so we do just lift our hearts up to you here this morning and open them, asking that you would come and fill our needs. Be with me here as I share. I pray for a filling of your spirit, that I could just share in a simple way the things that you've given me. Help me to remember the things that would be useful and helpful, and to forget those things that would be a distraction. So Lord, we just commit this time to you. Be with us and open your word to us in Jesus' name. So I'll write the title up here. It's just very simple, but there is something intriguing about these three words, and I don't know if it's a coincidence or not. Being it is the English language, I don't know that it was necessarily this way when it was written. you might see where I'm going with this. Interestingly enough, the first three letters of all of these, we get this. Ask. And so it's sort of an interesting thread if you start looking into it in the Bible that many times God was just waiting for people to ask him. He's just waiting. When will you ask me for help? It's like, I've got all these things that I could do for you, but you don't ask, and so I can't give it to you. And so it comes down to, in our own lives, that often we limit what God wants to do because we don't ask. Our heart isn't, maybe not intentionally, but we forget, maybe. I don't know what all it is, that we don't ask. So if you take one thing away, remember, God wants us to ask. That's the heart and burden of, if you forget everything else that I say, remember that. God is like waiting for you to just ask him for help. Okay, so let's open our Bibles here. Go turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3, and we're going to look at different people in the Bible that ask God for different things. Some of them, most of them are good examples for us. There was maybe one or so that was a rather selfish request. And I'm not going to get nearly all of them. These are just a few that came to me as I was preparing. And you can probably think of a lot more of these examples. And I encourage you, if you do, go ahead and look at those. They can be a blessing. So 1 Kings chapter 3, we're going to start reading in verse 3. This here is the account of Solomon after he was anointed king. 1 Kings 3 and verse 3. It says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?' And this speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, 'Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then will I lengthen thy days.' And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem, and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants." So here we have a clear example of a man who had an opportunity from God. God came and said to him, "Ask me what you want me to give you." And this was a wide open thing for him. And I find it remarkable that Solomon, he looked at this and he looked at the responsibility that he had, and he could have easily ask in a selfish way, hey, you know, would you bless me? Would you keep me safe from my enemies? Those would have all been good things that he could have asked for. But he looked way beyond that. And he was looking at the responsibility that he had to lead God's people. And he said, I don't know how to do that. I need wisdom. He said, this is something that only God can give me, is the wisdom that I need to know how to, in an appropriate way, to lead this people. And that was what really caught my attention when I read across that. I was thinking about myself. I was thinking about my family. I was thinking about you all here. I was thinking about all of us together. We all want to seek God, right? We all want to serve God. Do we need wisdom? How many of you need wisdom from God this morning? Yeah, that's not much of a question. Do we live our lives like we do? Do we actually act that way? Do we ask God for help? That's the question. And we'll look at some more of these things. And what we find here is that, like it says, God was very pleased with what he asked for. And he granted him all those other things that he could have asked for. And so you see that God supplied for all the needs that he had. And it says here that there was not going to be anyone, there was no one like it before him, before Solomon, and there has never been anyone like it after Solomon. So it was a very clear example of how pleased God was with that. And yet I think that there's no limit to the amount of things that God can give to us if we today seek him. And so what you'll see as we go through this is these three words, or especially the first two, are very tied together. You ask God and you're seeking after. They're very intertwined and it's hard to separate the two. So in James, we're instructed to ask God for wisdom if we find ourselves lacking. And so, like I said, how often do we actually do that? What if all of us as God's people would be asking him for wisdom in every difficulty, in every difficult situation that we find ourselves in every relationship struggle, in every place that we find ourselves how we don't know how to move forward? What do you think would happen if we would ask God for wisdom? Do you think he would give it to us? Do we believe that he would? Sometimes we have to seek. And that word, we'll get the definition here in a little bit later, but it has more the idea of us putting forth effort and putting our hearts into it. And so there's a need that's there to be seeking God. What do you think? If we would be doing this, do you think we might be a little closer to seeing the fulfillment of the Lord's Prayer where it says, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven"? I think we would. I really believe that. So, when we talk about asking wisdom, I'm saying, yes, we need to ask it in those hard situations like I just described. I think it goes a step further than that. I think it's a way of life. I think that in every single difficult situation that we find ourselves in, no matter how small it is, it can be the simplest little thing. God is waiting for us to ask him for help. Because you know what it does? Instead of me having to figure this thing out and getting frustrated because I can't figure it out, or for whatever reason it is, all of a sudden, God can help me. And my attitude changes towards the situation. My circumstances might not change at all, but my attitude does. And then God can work. And when you start asking God for help in those little situations, it also opens up the door for him to show himself strong in your life. There's lots of little things that he wants to show himself strong in your life. It can be as simple as a piece of equipment that won't start. Something's not working right. Why is it not working? We don't know. We ask God for help. It can be all kinds of things. Maybe, you know, it can be in our families. Maybe it seems impossible to get on top of these attitudes that are floating around. Ask God for help. Call the family together. Let's have a prayer meeting. God, we need help. We're having some bad attitudes. How do we get over these things? And in saying this, I want to be balanced. I'm not trying to promote the approach of, you know, there are people that will take that and promote this approach of the Lord told me to do this and the Lord told me to do that and using it as clout for things that are not biblical. I'm talking about when we know things that are God's will. We know this is what he wants us to accomplish, but we're struggling to get it done and we need his help. But I am, in saying this, I am also a firm believer that God does put thoughts in our minds. He does give us ideas of things that can help when we find ourselves in difficult situations. I have experienced that. But those things should always line up with the Word of God, with His will for our life. And so another thing that's very important to have in talking about all of these things, especially when we're asking God, and you would find this very clearly in the Bible, is we need to know what God's will is for our life. Maybe not all the spelled out details, but we need to know the principles of what God's will is for us as a believer. Very familiar verses in Proverbs that play right into this thought here. Chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart," not some, not most of, all thine heart, "and lean not unto thine own understanding." Don't be looking at for your own wisdom. "In all thy ways." How many? How many of the ways? All. Okay, so that means there's a couple that won't fit in there, right? No, it's all. "In all thy ways." What? Acknowledge. What does it mean to acknowledge? So if I acknowledge someone's presence, I give recognition that they're there. If God is with you, you give recognition that he's there in every circumstance that you find yourself in life. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he might direct your paths." No, he shall direct thy path. Do we believe that? All right, let's look at some more examples. I'm going to go to the book of Acts. You can turn to chapter 4. This is when the early Christians, they prayed for boldness when they encountered an opposition to the teachings of Jesus that they were trying to share. So in Acts chapter 4, we'll read part of it there. We won't read all of it. There's an account there that is given. So these apostles were sharing the gospel with the people. They were using the power of Jesus to heal people of diseases. And they were not doing this for their own glory, but rather with a sincere heart and a desire to share the good news of the gospel with the people. This good news of Jesus. And so here they find themselves, we're going to start reading in verse 8, Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. They found themselves before this council of people that did not appreciate what they were doing. They were trying to shut this thing down and they wanted it to cease. Here's what Peter says. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." And so I think what had happened here was they had healed the man that was sitting at the gate of the temple. These rulers were having some difficulty in accepting that, and they did not appreciate it. And so if we go on down through the chapter, they were threatened by the rulers, and don't talk about this anymore. You need to stop. And then in verse 23, it says, "And being let go, they went to their own company." So here's what they did. After they had those difficult things, they got this command from the rulers that they can't do this anymore. Here's what they did. "Being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord," here they're asking, "and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. God answered their prayers. He gave them boldness to move forward, to move past those things. All right, so let's look at another instance here. You can turn to this if you wish. Hannah was another person that I thought of that asked God. And so we're just going to look at different of these people throughout the Bible that ask God for different things. Here in Hannah's situation, she could not have children, and she wanted children. She was one of two wives of Elkanah, and the other wife could have children, and so she would sort of rub this in her face, and it became sort of a big thing. It was a burden that Hannah carried. It says in 1 Samuel 1, it says, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her to fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And in verse 10, she was praying, she was asking God. And it says, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And then there was the exchange there between her and Eli. And he thought she was drunk, the way she was acting. And then she was like, no, she said, I have, in verse 15, she answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. And as we know the story there, God very clearly answered her prayer. He granted her a son, first of all, and then she brought him and lent him back to the Lord. And then God also gave her more children after that. So I was going to read some of that account, but I don't think I will for the sake of time here this morning. But read over that sometime and consider how Hannah asked God. She found herself in a difficult situation, and she asked God, and he answered her prayers. Obviously, it was his will for those things. But some of the things that's good to consider is what she did and all that. She says she poured out her soul. Do we pour out our soul before God for a need that we have, for something that we need help with? I think there was a seeking that was there, like we'll look into later on. There's numerous things that we could look at in David's life. David sought God's help in his life. If you read through the Psalms, there was many times that he asked God for deliverance from his enemies. He asked God for a humble heart. He asked God for a variety of things. So as you read through those, and when we get to the seeking part, we'll look at a few of those verses. An example of David, and I kind of take this to flow with my thought earlier of asking God for help in the little things in life. So he faced a situation in, let's see here. I don't have the first part of the reference. It's in, I believe it's in Kings. So the Philistines came, and they had heard that he was anointed king over Israel. So I'll just read some of the verses here. I'm sorry I don't have the beginning of the reference. I have my verse numbers, but not the beginning of the reference. So it's in 1 Kings. It says, and when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David, and David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines, and wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? So here he is. He's seeking God for direction on just a basic thing in life. Do you want me to go against these enemies, or shall I wait? And God said, and the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand. So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote them. Then David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand, like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. continue reading there. It says, and when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. So then just the next verse, the next time they came, he didn't just assume off of the first time. He asked counsel again. It says, and the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Therefore, David inquired again of God, and God said unto him, go not up after them, turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle. For the Lord, for God is gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. So he didn't just assume on the time before the way it worked. You know, God said, go after him, and he did, and he was victorious. He asked again, and God gave him some different direction. Now I want you to do it this way. And it worked. He followed God's command in all of that. I don't think I have it here, but if you want to think about a different account, we can think of Moses. And the first time, God told him to strike the rock. And the next time, God told him to speak to the rock. But he was so angry that he instead hit the rock. And that was the cause of him not being able to enter into the promised land. So there you can see how sometimes our tendency is to assume, this worked last time, let's try that again, right? But God wants us to depend on him. And so every time we find ourselves in a difficult situation, let's ask him. Remember, the key word is ask. God wants us to ask. And this thought comes to me just now. God is not like, you know, sometimes as parents of young children, we can get tired of all their questions. But you know, God doesn't get tired of our questions. He does not get tired of us coming to him for help. And so, you know, sometimes in our humanness as parents, we can feel a little irritated with these things, but God isn't that way. God really enjoys when we come and ask him, because then he has an opportunity to work in our lives. A few more people. Sometimes God gives us what we ask for, and sometimes he does not. The Apostle Paul asked for something, and he didn't get it. And this is what he got instead. We heard last Sunday about God's grace, and the Apostle Paul experienced that when he asked. You're probably familiar with this I believe it's in Corinthians. Again, I don't have that reference. I'm sorry. It says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times. He was earnest about this thing. He wanted it to be healed. There's no clear indication of what it was, but it was something that he felt was a hindrance to him and limited his ability. So he besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So he found God's grace to be sufficient, even though the circumstances weren't resolved. God's grace was there to carry him through. All right, a few more examples here. Caleb was one that said, give me this mountain. He didn't look for an easy life. He was relying on God for his strength. And maybe in some ways this isn't specifically asking God, and yet we'll read some of this context here. It says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 40 and 5 years. This was a long time from the time that he first saw it until this transpired, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He was 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with thee, with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord hath, as the Lord said. And these Anakims, they were giants, they were large people, they were strong, and they knew how to build good cities. But Joshua wasn't, or Caleb was not looking for an easy inheritance. He was relying on God. God promised it to him, and he said, okay, I'm going to go do that. And so he asked, give me this mountain. What's the mountain in your life? You ask God to give you that mountain, to give you victory over whatever it is that's a mountain in your life. Let's look at some more examples. Jonah was another one. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, if you want to turn there, you can. We'll read a number of verses here. We'll read some. So Jonah actually asked for two things. First, he asked God to be saved from the fish. And then a couple chapters later, we find him asking God that he can die. So he sort of was wildly swinging in his requests. First, he wanted God to save him, and next, he wanted to just die. So it's kind of interesting. Maybe not the best example, but something that we can learn from. Do we ever find ourselves in some of these situations? So Jonah chapter 2 and verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then said I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So here you see, when he found himself in trouble, he was calling on God to save him from this trouble. I mean, he was in a terrible situation, you know, being in the belly of this fish and just all the nastiness and things that goes on. It was a miracle that he came out alive, you know, that he was in there for 3 days and that he made it out alive. And I think he realized that, you know, he was depending on God. So then he goes and he preaches like God told him to. But then when things didn't go the way that he wanted them to go, he told God, you know, if I preach, these people are going to repent. And, well, these people were enemies of Israel, and so he wanted to see them destroyed. That's why he didn't want to go in the first place. So he goes and he preaches, and sure enough, they repent, and God spares the city. And Jonah goes outside, and he says, see, it's what I told you. It's, you know, and so then he just wanted to die. It says, but it displeased, in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, talking about how God didn't destroy the city because they repented. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And then the Lord, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? I saved you out of the fish. You finally went and did what I told you to, and now you're upset that it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to. I mean, doest thou well to be angry? No. Surely we never act like that. We never have anything that comes even close to that in our lives. Or sometimes maybe we do. All right, here's another one. Moses, he asked God to go with them. When the children of Israel came up out of the land, this is what Moses said. We'll go to Exodus 33. Actually, there's a number of verses there, so if you want to turn there and follow along, you'd be welcome to do that. There's actually a couple things that Moses asked God. Specifically, he asked him to go with them, but then he also asked if he could see God. Let's just read, starting in verse 12, Exodus 33. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, The Lord, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses, he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Asking God to go with them and to give an example that he is with them different from all the people that were following their own way on the face of the earth. Verse 17, And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And then Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, And I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So here Moses also realized that he needed wisdom from God to lead the people of Israel. And they had also just come through one of their difficult situations where they needed God. They had just come across the Red Sea. And Moses is saying, God, if you're not going to go with us, then don't even take us out. Like, there's no point in us trying to go. We need your help. And he wanted to see God's glory. I find that interesting. God promised to go with him, and Moses also wanted to see God's glory. Do we want to see God's glory in our lives? I trust that we do. Okay, one more example here from the Bible, and then I have some quotes and things to help illustrate some of these things. So we also have Isaiah, and like I said, this is not exhaustive. I'm sure there's plenty more illustrations that we could look at, examples of people who sought God and asked God for things. But here we find a willing man. Again, these are familiar to us. Isaiah 6, it says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, The house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it on my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. So God wants us to ask, not to fill our own selfish desires, but rather that His power can be shown in our life. And praying to God is probably one of the main ways that we ask God for things, right? So here's a few quotes about prayer. Just some things for us to ponder and think about. I think we know these things, and yet, if you're like me, we need to be reminded. It says, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. Here's another one. Prayer delights God's ear. It melts His heart. It opens His hand. God cannot deny a praying soul. And so, why don't we have? The Bible says it's because we don't ask. And like I said a little bit earlier, I've had this picture already that God has this abundance of wisdom and things that He wants to pour into our lives. And I found this little account, a vision that a man had. He says he once imagined that he was walking in heaven with the angel Gabriel. I said, Gabriel, what is that big building? Gabriel replied, You'll be disappointed. I don't think you want to see it. But I insisted. And he showed me floor after floor of beautiful gifts, all wrapped and ready to be sent. Gabriel, what are all these? He replied, rather sadly, I thought, We wrapped these things, but people never called for them. So, like I was saying earlier, at times we simply limit God in what He wants to do in our lives because we don't ask. Here's another little account for us. Considering just in all these things, I was just considering my own life, and I saw needs there. I need the Lord to continue to work in these things. But here's this story that's given that a man arrived at this place. As he got off the train, the station was like any other station. The crowds and red caps, except that everybody was barefooted. They wore no shoes. He noticed the cab driver was barefooted. Pardon me, he asked the driver. I was just wondering why you don't wear shoes. Don't you believe in shoes? Sure we do, said the driver. Why don't we wear them? Oh, sure we do, said the driver. And the question from the man was, why don't you wear them? Ah, that is the question, came the reply. Why don't we wear shoes? Why don't we? At the hotel, it was the same. The clerk, bellboys, everybody was barefooted. In the coffee shop, he noticed a nice-looking fellow at a table opposite him who was also barefooted. He said, I notice you aren't wearing any shoes. I wonder, don't you know about shoes? The man replied, Of course I know about shoes. Then why don't you wear them? Ah, that is the question. Why don't we? Why don't we? After breakfast, he walked out on the street in the snow, but every person he saw was barefooted. He asked another man about it and pointed out how shoes protect the feet from cold. The man said, We know about shoes. See that building yonder? That is a shoe factory. We are proud of that plant, and every week we gather there to hear the man in charge tell about shoes and how wonderful they are. Then why don't you wear shoes? Ah, that is the question. Don't we believe in prayer? Don't we know what it could mean in our lives? Then why don't we pray? Ah, that is the question. Why don't we? It's maybe sort of almost an extreme situation, and yet, does it illustrate a point in our lives? Why don't we? All right, so looking at the word seek now, just briefly here. So this seek, it seems to... Okay, so the meaning is to be about. In other words, this is a mission of your life. To desire, to endeavor, to inquire for, to seek after, for, or to see. Okay, to seek after, to seek for, or to seek means. And so it seems that The seek has to do with our action in relation to asking. It's a demonstration with my life that I am serious about the things I'm asking for. And so, in seeking God, we need to show him that we are serious. It seems as though I am missing a page of my notes, sadly. So I had down a number of verses about seeking, and I might just get those because I think it would do us good to look at them. I'm not sure what happened, but maybe we had some technical difficulties. All right, so in Luke chapter 15 is an illustration of someone that was seeking and illustrates what I want to explain. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 8, I think we're familiar with these things. So Jesus was giving an example here of the kingdom of heaven. And talking about people that are putting their heart into it. And so he illustrated it this way. He said, in verse 8, what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And so he's giving it here in the light of seeking God for a soul. When was the last time that we sought God for a soul? That we were earnest about it? This seeking, I think, of people, I think I have it here somewhere. Yeah. So let's read a couple more verses. In Psalm 53, here's one of the ones from David. Psalm 53, verse 2, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17, there's this verse and one more, and then I have some thoughts on that. Proverbs 8, verse 17, it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. There was an interesting one here in Zephaniah, chapter 2 and verse 3. It says, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. I think it's kind of interesting that he talks about all the meek of the earth. All right, so when you have someone who is seeking after something, maybe, just for illustration, it could be, there's various people that go after titles in the various sports that people participate in, and they put forth effort, a lot of effort. There's nothing that's too much that will stand in the way, that's too hard for them to do if it's going to help them reach their goal. So when they set a goal, there's nothing that gets in their way, and they will lose sleep, they will push themselves, they will work until they are sore, they will put forth a lot of effort to accomplish something here of an earthly prize. How about us? Let's translate that into, we have an expectation of wanting to go to heaven. How much effort are we putting into that? Are we seeking God? Maybe there's areas of need or struggle in our lives. How earnestly do we seek God to overcome those things? It says, we have not because we ask not. And it seems like in this asking, we like when we can just ask once, right? And we see results. It seems like in our Christian life, it takes a little more than that. We might have to put in some earnestness to receive those things. So, are we doing whatever it takes to get that goal accomplished? Just briefly here on the word knock, I was thinking about Peter And after he got released from prison, he comes to the house and he's knocking to be let in the gate. And so they came and they heard who it was, and we know the story there. But he kept knocking. He kept persisting. I don't think it was a beating the door down type of knocking, but just a persistence. And if you think about how God speaks to us, God speaks to us in that way, just in a persistent and a still small voice. But then he also, Jesus, told us in, I believe it's Matthew 18, to ask. And he gave the story of that widow that was asking the judge. She was petitioning for something. She kept knocking on his door and asking for this thing that she needed until he gave it to her. He granted that need because she kept knocking. So again, I come back to saying, when we are asking for something, we need to know and understand what God's will is for our lives. And we can't ask out of a selfish desire for our own benefit. But if we really want to serve God, those things won't. We will ask for things that will help us to better serve God. And so, the conclusion here is that my heart here is to stir us up, to encourage us, to put forth effort, to be seeking, to obtain help and wisdom from God. And these things do require some effort, some work on our part. But the more we can make that a part of our life, it will flow from our life because it's who we are. It's how we live our life in serving God. And so I trust that these things can inspire us to dig in some more, that it's worth all the effort that you put in to seek and to serve God. So God's blessings to all of you. I trust that we will seek God when we need wisdom. This week, as we go through life, you find yourself in a difficult situation, let's ask God. He's waiting. He wants us to ask. So, Lord's blessings to all of you.